Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, mi amigos. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective, asking the eternal question, ¿Quién es más macho? Fernando Lamas, Guillaume Chatinard. Good to be here with you. It's Tuesday, obviously, 7 o'clock live, and that's what we do Tuesdays and Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio. Barring any unforeseen, totally unpredicted technical meltdown on their side. Let's make sure we get that squared away. Rough show last Thursday night. Things didn't go well at all. Had a really hard time logging on. Blog Talk kept dropping calls, and basically the whole thing just kind of screwed mightily with old Jim's internal feng shui. But we're over and we're feeling good. So many things are happening. Tuesdays and Thursdays, though, this is what's happening live. Blog Talk Radio through the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We also have a recorded version of the show that goes out on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com, apps all over the place, YouTube presence as well for those shows that have a video component, and we do that at 4 p.m. Sundays Eastern Standard Time. Your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Well, when I was creating this baby earlier in the day, we were going to be taking a look at the Biden family corruption, which is old news, as I said in the teaser to you and I. This stuff's been out there for a long time. The mainstream, the establishment types are acting like they've never seen it before. Actually, they're acting like they've never seen it, period. They're acting like they don't know of any such thing. And the big headline tonight that crazy ass overly Botoxed vodka swilling pill popping Nancy Pelosi. You know what? I'm just going to let it speak for itself. Let me get my, I got to get my earplug in because I'm going to listen to this and undoubtedly comment with whatever it is this barely coherent, questionably sober octogenarian's got to say here. Nancy Pelosi from just a couple hours ago with another official, you know, the latest as they go by, impeachment inquiry, which is going to be opening up. Oh, my God. Here it is.
This is a breach of his constitutional responsibilities. The facts are these. The Intelligence Community Inspector General, who was appointed by President Trump,
right,
determined that the complaint is both of urgent concern and credible.
No, it is not.
He went on to say, relates to one of the most significant and important of the Director of National Intelligence's responsibility to the American people.
Significant and important?
Thursday, the Inspector General testified before the House Intelligence Committee stating that the acting Director of National Intelligence blocked him from disclosing the whistleblower complaint. This is a violation of law. The law is unequivocal. The DNI staff, it says the DNI, Director of National Intelligence.
Oh, for the love of God, Nan.
Provide Congress the full whistleblower complaint. For more than 25 years, I've served on the Intelligence Committee as a member, as the ranking member, as part of the Gang of Four, even before I was in the leadership. I was there when we created the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That did not exist.
Well, did she take elocution lessons from Porky Pig? Good God.
In the 90s when we wrote the whistleblower laws and continued to write them to improve them to ensure the security of our intelligence and the safety of our whistleblowers. I know what their purpose was, and we proceeded with balance and caution as we wrote the laws. I can say with authority the Trump administration's actions undermine both our national
right.
security and our intelligence and our protection.
Nancy, sweetheart, your intelligence was undermined a long time ago.
The acting DNI will appear before the House Intelligence Committee. At that time, he must turn over the whistleblower's full complaint to the committee. He will have to choose whether to break the law or honor his responsibility to the Constitution. On the final day of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when our Constitution was adopted, Americans gathered on the steps of Independence Hall to wait
for
the government our founders had crafted. They asked Benjamin Franklin, "What do we have, a republic or a monarchy?" Franklin replied, "A republic if you can keep it. Our responsibility is to keep it."
Oh, my. Okay, that just, oh, God. Okay. You get the idea, right? You get the idea. There's more to the clip, but I'm not going to play it. Oh. Now, the headline at Breitbart, and I suppose, and I understand why they're doing it, because Nanny Bear is the Speaker of the House, and until Nanny Bear calls for impeachment, it ain't impeachment, apparently. And so, Nadler's done how many of these things? He's done it all summer. He's called people in, and they've testified. He called in Robert Mueller. Oh, God. And then he called in John Dean. He's called in all these people. He called in Corey Lewandowski. And that was brilliant. That was great. 5.5 hours of Lewandowski just manhandling those Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee, flipping their noses. Hey, what's that on your tie? Boop. Giving them noogies. I mean, he was just awesome. So here we go again. Now, at first, this was about Russian collusion. You guys remember way back when, man, I can tell already we're going to have to go into extra innings on this. And I'm not even 10 minutes into the show. But you remember way back when all this was about Russian collusion, that Donald Trump was, he was a Russian guy. He was one of Putin's dudes, man. A sleeper agent. A willing tool of the communist apparatchik. Okay, well, whatever. Well, that turned out to be a nothing burger. And to prove that it was a nothing burger, Gerald Nadler himself invited the rubber stamp behind the investigation, Robert Mueller, to testify. And the poor guy didn't even know what time it was, let alone what he was testifying for. So then they go on vacation, a taxpayer-funded vacation, I might add. And they come back. And last week was yet again another impeachment inquiry hearing, the opening hearing from the judiciary. And they subpoenaed Corey Lewandowski to come in and testify. And he came in and just chump slapped him, and it was awesome. And what you need to do is you need to go to YouTube. It's a 12-minute clip, and I'm tempted to play it again, but I don't think I'm going to because there were just so many technical issues last week, but I'm not going to. Now, at the root of this latest impeachment, this latest official impeachment inquiry, and by the way, how many of you cats out there who really pay attention to this? You know, we've talked about the backstory. We'll get back on this whole impeachment Ukraine thing in a minute. I've talked a long time, months now. I've been pontificating about the internecine squabbles that are going back and forth, not only between the House Democrats among themselves, which is certainly the case, because this thing with Nancy Pelosi is, in many respects, a capitulation. But we'll get into that shortly. But what I've talked about is this internecine conflict that's going on between House Democrats amongst themselves, the radical wing, and then the less, I won't call them moderate, the somewhat moderately less radical wing of the Democrat Party. And in other words, the squad, you've got Ilhan Omar, little Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she is a Latino, we say that, and the other two chicks, Ayanna Pressley and Rashida Tlaib. So you have that fight between the extremes, like we see with Ocasio and her babes, and then you have Pelosi, not exactly a moderate in and of herself, but I don't know what you can call it. And not only that, but then you have this fight between the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats. Nancy Pelosi's still kind of ticked off at Chuck Schumer over not being able to stop the border funding bill a couple of months ago. He guaranteed her that he could stop that bill. Now, that funding bill provided crucial cash and resources to the Border Patrol people and the detainment facilities that they have set up. Those things were strained to the breaking point. They were needing money. They were needing resources. The Democrats, knowing this, the compassionate, humanitarian Democrats, knowing this, worked diligently to withhold these funds in this bill through a number of political machinations, and it didn't work. So these people got relief. The border and customs people got relief down there on the border a little bit. It's still tough on them. It's still really tough. And the Democrats look like they can't control what bills get passed. So Nancy and Chuck, if you've noticed, you haven't seen them around together too much. You know, you used to see them a lot, solidarity and all that. But not so much here lately. And in Nancy Pelosi, finally, because you have all these people calling for impeachment in the House, and Nancy's going, no, the country's not behind it, and the country isn't behind it. We're not going to do this. It's going to be bad for the party, which it will be bad for the party. However, if Nancy Pelosi has now officially called, as Speaker of the House, for an impeachment inquiry herself, not one of the heads of the committees, not Gerald Nadler, not dude from the Oversight Committee, another Democrat melon head, can't think of his name, doesn't matter, but the Speaker of the House, her own self, how can that not be Nancy Pelosi and the slightly less radical wing of the Democrat Party capitulating, caving, submitting to the Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, Presley, Omar faction? Because they've been screaming impeachment from the get-go. They were heedless of the cost because, you know, again, country's not up on this. Country doesn't care about this. But the Democrats don't care about the country not caring. Democrats don't care about the country. Democrats care about maintaining and expanding their power base. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about the country. They don't even care about the people who are supporting them, those useful idiots in the Occupy Wall Street, the Black Lives Matter, the LGBTQ I'm sure there's probably a few other letters I'm missing, but you get the idea. They don't care about any of these people. They don't care about any of these various identity factions that they've set up and told them that they were special and they rate. You get us in there and we're gonna exalt you. They don't care about it. Now, let us take a look, shall we, at this particular hill that Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats now, apparently, in toto, have decided to die on. Now, this impeachment inquiry stems from an individual, most likely within the intelligence community, posing as a whistleblower, although they're not a whistleblower because in the language of that particular definition, a whistleblower has to have firsthand knowledge, and this person does not have firsthand knowledge of a telephone call that took place between Big D and the president of Ukraine. Now, at issue in this telephone call is the fact that the president of the United States asked the president of Ukraine, a couple years ago, Joe Biden's son Hunter was over there involved in some kind of natural gas deal, and you had a prosecutor that was looking into it, and all of a sudden the guy got fired. What was all that about? Well, here is what this is about. Peter Schweizer is He wrote a book a couple of years ago called Clinton Cash, and we have discussed some of the things that happened in the Clinton Cash machine there with the pay-for-play while Hillary Clinton was in the was head of the State Department. We wound up selling 25% of our uranium reserve, a strategic ore, by the way, to Russia. She rubber-stamped the whole deal. And in exchange, rivers of money came pouring in to the Clinton Foundation. That's all getting looked into, and that's not what we're talking about. But it is because of that book, Clinton Cash, that that whole ball is rolling on looking into the Clinton Foundation. And that was written by Peter Schweitzer. He's president of the Government Accountability Institute, and he's also a senior editor-at-large at Breitbart as well. He has a book, a new book out from last year. And that's why I'm saying this is not news. And the scandal is not in the president of the United States talking to the president of Ukraine, asking him to check out Joe Biden, a political opponent. That's not the scandal. Here's what the guys in the news, and yeah, this goes for Fox News too. This is what they do not want you to know. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's second son, and this comes from Schweitzer's book, his new book called Hidden Empires. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's second son, received millions of dollars from Ukrainian energy company Burisma Holdings, while dad, vice president of the United States at that time, Joe Robinette Biden, directed $1.8 billion in aid money to the Ukraine as part of a foreign aid package. John Solomon has also done a lot of work on this too. U.S. banking records, according to John Solomon, Hunter Biden received millions of dollars during the time that his dad was vice president. The banking records show that Hunter Biden's American-based firm, Rosemont Seneca Partners, LLC, and you know he was a partner with that, who was a partner with that, with him in that? John Kerry's son. Biff Kerry. That John Kerry. John Kerry's son, Biff. Can't remember his first name, but we're going to call him Biff. Probably looks like one. And Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, were partners in Rosemont Seneca. And they received, this company, Rosemont Seneca, received regular transfers into one of its accounts. And in this particular account, it was $166,000 plus a month from this gas company in the Ukraine, Burisma Holdings, from spring of 2014 all the way through the fall of 2015, during a time when Vice President Joe Biden was the main United States official dealing with Ukraine and its tense relations with Russia. Now, the general prosecutor's official file for the Burisma probe, and this is the Ukrainian general prosecutor, shows that the prosecutors on his team identified Hunter Biden, business partner Devin Archer, and their firm, Rosemont Seneca, as potential recipients of money. Now, General Prosecutor Shokin told Solomon in written answers, because of the language barrier there, that before he was fired as general prosecutor, he had made specific plans for the investigation that included interrogations and other crime investigation procedures into all members of the executive board, including Hunter Biden. Now, Now, in the Ukraine, it involved this energy company called Burisma, which is a very corrupt organization headed by, believe it or not, a Russian oligarch, a cat by the name of Mykola Zloshevsky, who is a really tight pal with Viktor Yanukovych. Now, Viktor Yanukovych, also a Ukrainian, but he's pro-Russia. And he is open to, if becoming president of Ukraine, reconciling with Mother Russia. So Schweitzer thinks that there could be, because of Viktor Yanukovych being a pro-Russian political leader in Ukraine, that there might be some kind of Russian angle to this. Because this company, Burisma, and most of the, you know, and that's how the oligarchs do business. I mean, business in America is corrupt. There are deals done that we don't know about. There are laws skirted, and we're outraged when we find about it. And it's no different in Ukraine, in the Soviet Union, with the collapse of communism. So in a 14-month period, while Joe Biden is the point man for U.S. foreign policy in dealing with the Ukraine, this company, Burisma, is cutting out checks every month to the tune of $3.1 million into an account where Hunter Biden is getting paid. Hunter Biden has no professional background in the natural gas industry. He has no professional background or experience with the Ukraine. He has absolutely no set of bona fides that qualify him to be on the board of directors at Burisma Holdings. I mean, beyond the fact that his old man was vice president, and again, the point man on U.S. foreign policy, which translates into U.S. foreign aid to Ukraine. And at that time, Ukraine was kind of at a chokehold because there had already been a couple of different military incursions into Georgia, and Ukraine was worrying that they might be next. So there was pressure there, and they needed that money. So, and by the way, if the Russians or the Ukrainians or the oligarchs, if the oligarchs and their government pals are looking into people for corruption, Katie, bar the door. Don't you think it's going to be tough? So if these guys are looking into the corruption, they must be unbelievably corrupt. So the Ukrainian government has to get involved. The equivalent, I guess, of our attorney general. And he appoints a guy, a special prosecutor, to look into this. And the more the dude looks into it, the more questions he has. And one of the big questions is, what is this useless Amerikansky doing on the board of Burisma? He doesn't know anything about gas. He doesn't know anything about Ukraine. He doesn't know anything. He might know that his dad's vice president, but beyond that, what good is? So long story short, it gets hot. Burisma and the board and Hunter, you know, they get on the horn and Dad, you know, those Ukrainian guys are starting to ask some questions about the money. You know what I mean? And they're looking to haul some people in to question them. And that means that I might, you know, wind up going to the Ukraine to answer questions that may be a bit uncomfortable. And what the hell are you going to do about it? And Joe says, it's not a problem. Here's what's going to happen. So he gets on the phone with the leader in Ukraine at that time, and he says, hey, you got a prosecutor that's poking his nose into business where it not to be poking, and you need to call him off. You need to get rid of him. And the president of Ukraine says, do what? What are you talking about? You heard me. You got a guy in your chief prosecutor's office that's asking the wrong questions. We need it to stop. And the president of Ukraine goes, Chuck, you Farley, who do you think you are? I'm the president of Ukraine, man. You don't tell me how to run my country and conduct legal affairs. And Joe Biden says, well, I'm the vice president of the United States, and if you don't do what I want you to do, that $1.8 billion that you've been counting on, you ain't going to be able to count on it because it ain't going to show up. And the president of Ukraine says, you're full of it. And Joe says, call the White House. So Ivan calls the White House. Now that's too Russian. Yorge calls the White House. White House says, is that what Joe told you? Yeah, that's what he said. All right, then. He's our guy, so whatever he says goes. Which fundamentally says, okay, you know, the president sanctions this action as well. So within a matter of hours, President of Ukraine calls Joe, says, all right, you dirty SOB, it's done. We got him off. We fired him. The money shows up. Ouch, down to the bottom of the hour. We will be back with more of this insanity from these guys here in just a minute. I think we're probably going to have to go. We're going to have to go long, y'all. I'm gonna be like Kenny Stabler. I'm going to be throwing the ball to Biletnikoff. We're throwing the long bomb, so we're going to be going extra innings tonight. And we will be back with more of ACP after this somewhat prolonged musical interlude. See you in a few.
Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, a twang, and Eddie Hisman ring. We're going steady, take it easy, take me high, lie, lie. House of fire, no commotion, poker patch, a deeper purple satisfaction. Baby, baby, gotta, give me, getting hot. Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens, end of story. My beast of Fuji, I'm a Kama Sutra, Rama Lama, Richard Perry, Spectre Barry, Righteous Archer, Nielsen, Harry, Shimmy, Jimmy, Coco, Poppin, Fats, back and finger poppin'.
Brothers, RCA, and all the others.
Life is a rock, but the radio.
you frolic, you get it all the nuts, you already crumbled, already yelling, all the air.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing
so
in on him.
The
walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning
bombshell.
Of the end for President Donald
astrologer?
Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a
and
tipping
over.
Point.
And over and over.
Breaking news,
and
President
over.
Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
It's the beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning of the end.
The beginning
up.
Of the
okay,
end.
Okay,
the walls just, are closing
yeah,
in.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Shut up. Okay, you get the idea. And get ready, because you know what? Here it comes again. They're going to whip that stuff out and make a special love line dedication to all those true believers out there who never say die, who never give up. And they're going to keep on riding that Trump train instead of soul train. And they're going to ride that Trump train. Every, and it's, we're going along on this because in a way, it's kind of given it's kind of put a weed up and a burr in my blanket. And here's but it's a somewhat apathetic burr, because you know what, guys, we have seen this before. I can name that tune in no notes. You heard it right there. You heard it. We heard for 2 years, pending the release of the Mueller report. Nonstop. Mueller report comes out, nothing. Big old nothing burger. Bob Mueller comes up and testified. Nothing there. Nothing in the noggin. He don't know anything. Well, if that's what it says in the report, Skipper, that's where I'm at. I mean, basically, that's all the hell he did. And then he tottered on out of there. They brought in John Dean. John damn Dean. Who doesn't know anything about anything and didn't know anything about stuff 50 years ago. But he's going to put it all in context for Jerry the Jowl Nadler, mother of pearl. So it doesn't work. But they've been talking impeachment for 2.5 years. So they take a vacation after Mueller. And these guys, they never change anything. They don't, whoops, my bad. Oh, damn, we were wrong. Nothing. They just double, triple, fourple down. That's all they do. Quadruple. I know it's quadruple, not fourple, but it's cool. So now that the Mueller report fizzled out, now that he's fizzled out, they've been trying stuff with the tax records. And Nadler just will not let go of impeachment. He's convinced that there was a cover-up of no crime being committed. Okay? The Trump administration committed no crimes, participated in no collusion with Russian authorities, Russian government. Didn't happen. Yet Nadler accuses them of covering it up. Covering up the fact that they did not commit a crime. Okay. No, that's what it comes. What else can it come down to? That's what it boils down to. So they've accused the president of covering up a crime that was never committed, of covering up no crime. But so they do this. Well, the pressure within the House of Representatives, between these two warring factions, between the extreme left, the Ocasio, Tlaib, Presley, Omar, Moonbat, Fruitcake, extreme left, socialist, communist, progressive, fascist, tyrannical wing of the Democrat Party, and the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, old Democrat, Joe Biden, only slightly less radical wing of the Democrat Party. Because really, there's not like maybe about 6-8 inches difference between them. But they, you know, they can't get along. So fundamentally, the House Democrats capitulate to Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, blah, 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 yaggedy schmaggedy, and we see this impeachment inquiry come to fruition. It's ballyhooed. It's all over the place. Finally, after all this dithering back and forth, and after all this time that Nancy Pelosi has been fundamentally firm, not I won't necessarily say adamant, but she's trying to rein in and govern over these Democrats, this caucus of Democrats in the House of Representatives, and it didn't work. She gave in to them. So now impeachment is going to go full steam ahead. Now, Nancy Pelosi recognized the fact it is not popular. They've had 2 years. 2 years. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea to bring this deal down, to sell everybody on impeachment, to make it palatable, to make it appealing, to sway the public that we need to get rid of this guy. 2 years from Washington, D.C., to your cable news networks, to Hollywood, to the newspapers you pick up. And they still can't do it. They haven't done it. They won't. But impeachment this time is predicated on this phone call that the president made to whoever the current president of Ukraine is. They're talking, and he says, hey, you know, what was... Looked like you guys were really getting some traction on that Hunter Biden Burisma thing, and then the bottom fell out of it. What was the deal there? Mr. President, you know, and he goes, so you think there was some smoke there? Oh, yeah. And so that's it. That's what he says. But the Democrats are going to say that you're going to have the president colluding yet again with a foreign power to circumvent a presidential election. Now, I know what you're thinking. If we wanted to get really psychological about this, we could talk for a moment about projection. And simply speaking, projection is accusing your opponent of those things that you do. The Nazis were good at it. Joe Stalin, the early communists, they were good at it. Mao was pretty good at it too. And these Democrats, they're real good at it. Now, there was another company that Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was a board member of. And The name of that company was Bohai Harvest, and it was a private equity firm that the Chinese government hooked up to the tune of $1.5 billion in funding. In December of 2013, and again, this comes, and don't take my word for any of this. Don't take my word for any of this. Pete Schweitzer's book, Secret Empires. Right, we were reading about this stuff a year ago. And it's an interesting study, a very revealing study on how the American political class, both sides, hide corruption and enrich their family and friends. So in December of 2013, just before he got hooked up with that whole Burisma deal, Vice President Joe Biden flies to Asia for a trip, and the centerpiece for this trip is a visit to Beijing. Now, to put this into context, if you remember, in 2013, the Chinese had just exerted air rights over the South Pacific, the entire South Pacific, and the South China Sea. They basically said, if you want to fly in this area, you have to get Chinese approval. We are claiming sovereignty over this territory. And it was pretty controversial, especially in Japan and the Philippines and other countries that, you know, that are located in the South Pacific. So Joe Biden is supposed to be going there to confront the Chinese because he's such a badass. I guess you guys heard that story about Corn Pop, right? No, Google Joe Biden Corn Pop, just like it says. So he goes to confront the Chinese. Well, he goes, and the end result fundamentally is that he gets widely and universally criticized on that trip for going soft on China, basically not challenging them. And Japan and the other countries who are in that area that the Chinese were claiming sovereignty over don't know what's going on. And in the book Secret Empires, and again, this is not news, guys. We were talking about this stuff a year ago. Good thing I went into overtime. So flying with Vice President Joe Biden on this trip to Beijing on Air Force Two is his son, Hunter Biden. And 10 days after they return from China, Hunter Biden, who still has this small firm, he has no background in private equity, just as he had no background in natural gas. He has no background in Chinese finance, just as he had no background in Ukrainian affairs. No bona fides at all to grant him any merit other than his dad's vice president. He gets $1.5 billion in this deal from the Chinese government. This is the Chinese government giving Joe Biden and a John Kerry confidant the management over this money. And they made huge fees off this money. And it's an example of this kind of corruption that we're dealing with. That's the first of three major deals that the Chinese government does with people who are either the children, that is the sons, or close aides of Vice President Joe Biden or Secretary of State John Kerry. There are also national security implications in this. And one of the examples that Schweitzer talks about is the acquisition by Bohai Harvest and a Chinese company, the Aviation Industry Corporation of China, which is a state-run Chinese military contractor. These two companies bought and split up Heneage's Automotive. Now, here's the thing about Heneage's Automotive. Heneage's Automotive makes their leaders in dampening technologies. And what I'm talking about is like shock absorbers and shock absorbing types of rubber components for vehicles. And it's bought up and split by this company, Bohai Harvest, that Hunter Biden sits on the board of, and a Chinese government military contractor. So the son of the Vice President of the United States, the son whose father is supposed to be a commanding American presence and power in the Pacific to deal with this rising challenge from China, his son is investing $1.5 billion of Chinese government money. So what do? Well, they invest in this American high-precision company called Heneage's, which used to be owned by Rocket Company, and they produce dampening or anti-vibration technologies. And these technologies have dual-use application, which means they have civilian and military applications. So because of this dual-use application, this deal has to have the approval of the federal government because it's got national security implications. So again, the son of the vice president is helping the Chinese government take over a dual-use military technology-related company called Heneage's Automotive. Bohai Harvest also invested in a Chinese state-run atomic energy company that was indicted by the Department of Justice in crimes related to stealing nuclear secrets. It gets even worse because another investment that they make is in something called CGN, China General Nuclear, which is an atomic power company. Now, they invest in this company in 2014. A year later, what happens? In 2015, the FBI arrests and charges senior officials in this company with stealing nuclear secrets in the United States, specifically trying to get access to something called the AP-1000 nuclear reactor. It's very similar to the ones that we put on U.S. nuclear submarines. So you have the son of the vice president, a close aide in that Devin Archer guy, to the Secretary of State, who are investing in a company that is trying to steal nuclear secrets in the United States. This is a stunning story, America. And because apparently they figured out a way to get around these disclosure laws, very little of this is going to be known. And what I'm talking about there are the public disclosure regulations concerning financial relationships of politicians, family members with foreign governments. We can't look at it. Explain to me, America, and this is a rhetorical question, how, given what we've heard from these excerpts I've shared with you from Pete Schweitzer's book, Secret Empires, and this stuff it's documented. It's a done deal. It happened. We're not speculating. We're not inferring. this went down. Joe Biden played a role in both the Ukrainian deal and the Chinese deal. He knows. But the establishment media, including Fox, would have you believe that the shiftiness comes from the President of the United States, Donald Trump, asking the Ukrainian president, what's the deal? You guys were looking into this as you know, crimes being committed, and then you just walked away from it. How come? Because over here in America, the story we have is this. Now, folks, Chris Matthews isn't going to talk about this with you. Shepard Smith from Fox News isn't going to talk about this. Hannity might talk about this with you in the TikTok club. But because the president made, and by the way, today Nancy Pelosi says, based on this phone call, I've decided to make it official. We really are going to impeach. We're going to open up an inquiry of impeachment on the President of the United States. Based on this, now, how this came to light is it was a leak disguised as to give it some kind of nobility, I guess. It was disguised as a, quote, whistleblower's report. And there's a lot of holes in that, and Breitbart is a pretty good source for this, as well as, Conservative Treehouse. Check those cats out, too. They're really good. But it is simply based on this one phone call. That's it. This one phone call to the president of Ukraine, or the Ukrainian prime minister, whatever he's called, the big chief. And the suggestion that the president made that dude needs to reopen that case and look around and see what's going on, you know, shame on him. He's just doing this to make Biden look bad. So, again, we're colluding. So look to hear that term again. Now he's going to be colluding with the Ukrainian government to manufacture dirt on poor old Joe and his son, his coke-addicted Naval Academy washout, marry your dead brother's wife, then run around on her son of doing something wrong. Shame on you guys, man. You ought to be impeached for that. And by God, we're going to start it. And so there they go. And they're off to the races again with this. But at the same time, and Schiff, the Schiff head, he'll be back in the news. We haven't heard too much out of Schiffer brains lately, but he'll be back with the whatever he's going to be doing over there on the Senate side. Now that the impeachment drums are picking up their pace. He'll be. Is it just me, or does Adam Schiff look like Lotka Grobitz from Taxi? You know what I'm talking about? The character Andy Kaufman played Lotka. Yeah, that's it. But he'll be up to something. And again, I'm simply unmoved by any of this. We'll talk about it and we'll pay attention to it because it certainly makes for good theater, and that's what so much of this is. But again, there's nothing there. They're just whipping this stuff up into a frenzy, and at the end of the day, when you've got to cut through all that whiff, all that foam, still nothing there. it's almost as if wishing would make it so. There are going to be people who get upset about this, and they're going to worry about what's going to happen with the president. Can they actually do it this time? You know, all it takes is one lucky shot. And, you know, anybody can knock a heavyweight champion out if you catch him right before he clobbers you. And it's entirely possible. Is it probable? No. And we'd have to circumnavigate back to that great silent majority that I drag out every now and then. We're not going to do that just yet. But you have, this is corruption from just this one guy, from just Joe Biden. Global corruption. And in one instance, with a government that is our ideological enemy. Yeah, the Chi-Coms. Oh, they got business. They're doing business and stuff and investing. They're slowly becoming capitalists. No, they're not. They're not capitalist investors. Damn it, they're communist investors. Okay, this is corruption on a numbing scale. And it's just so bold and out there. John Solomon, Pete Schweitzer, Sarah Carter. These people are all, they're all tough, run it to the ground journalists. And Schweitzer's, he knows his business. And we were talking about this a year ago. Springtime 2018, more than a year ago. Rachel Maddow? No, she's not talking about it. Or whatever his name is. Lawrence O'Donnell? No, he's not talking about it. Chris Matthews? No. No. No, they're upset because the President of the United States asked somebody to look into this graft and corruption. That's what they're upset about. Shocking. Positively shocking. Got a little bit of time. Let me pull this up. I have some, and this is from Schweitzer himself, who, like I said, knows what the hell he's talking about. Pete Schweitzer on Biden corruption. Not very long, not a very long clip, but worth listening to. Here it is.
In December of 2013, Hunter Biden flies on Air Force Two to Beijing, China, with his father. His father meets with Chinese officials. He's very soft on Beijing. The most important thing that happens 10 days after they return. And that's when Hunter Biden's small private equity firm called Rosemont Seneca Partners gets a $1 billion private equity deal with the Chinese government. Not with the Chinese corporation, with the government. And what people need to realize is Hunter Biden has no background in China. He has no background in private equity. The deal he got in the Shanghai Free Trade Zone, nobody else had. Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Blackstone, nobody had this deal. So it's very, very clear. And that's the first of a series of deals that Hunter Biden strikes with the Chinese government. So there's no question when you chart what Joe Biden is doing with China, the meetings he's having, and the deals that his son is procuring at the same time, that they are buying off Biden through his son. I think it's crystal clear.
And they've spent the last 2 years trying to say, well, you had a hotel that you want to build in Moscow, and like nothing came of that. And that makes such a big deal. And this just gets buried. If you didn't write about this in your book, And I wasn't, my memory wasn't jogged the other day when I was thinking, like, wasn't there a Hunter Biden? And I looked it back up. And people wouldn't even be talking about this. This in and of itself is like a disqualifier.
Yeah, well, look, and Laura, this is the tip of the iceberg. There was a court case last year. Hunter Biden's business partner went on trial on an unrelated case. We got access to the financial records, the Morgan Stanley financial records of Rosemont Seneca Bohai, which was a pass-through. Going out of that account, the most money going out of that account went to Hunter Biden. The money going into the account, there's $3.1 million from corrupt Ukrainian oligarchs. Mm-hmm. There's $1 million from the Chinese. There's monies from a Kazakh oligarch. There's $1.2 million from some LLC from a Swiss bank that's been implicated in money laundering. We don't even know who's behind the mysterious LLC. Exactly. This is all going on while Joe Biden is vice president steering foreign policy.
Okay. Well, there's a stunning lack of curiosity on the part of CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, or I've missed all that reporting.
I like how she said that. A stunning lack of curiosity. Do you even hear reporters beyond our small little circle? When you watch Biden in these pressers, does anyone ever ask him about this stuff? When he goes on news shows, does anyone say, Joe, you know, a lot of stuff out here, what's going on? Nobody's ever going to do that. Stunning lack of curiosity. I like that. So today, Nancy Pelosi caves in to the extreme Fruit Loop Moonbat wing, extreme left wing of the Democrat Party in the House, and they go ahead and, you know, we're gonna do an impeachment inquiry, and this time we really mean it. So they're gonna do this over this phone call. So they're gearing up for impeachment. Pelosi and these guys are gearing up for this, you know, they're revving the engines up and getting this thing. And the president is at the UN doing what the president does, Well, by the way, we're going to release a transcript of that call. Oh, and I threw back my head and laughed. Then, of course, the Democrats, we're going to need more than just that. We're going to need everything that you've ever said to anybody ever. And then we're going to reserve the right to change it around to make it so you look bad. And then we're going to, you know, impeach you. So he's going to release the transcript of the phone call. And you can be ready for the argument. You know, they're going to ask the question, well, is it conceivable that this could be a doctored transcript? Is this the real transcript? What is the president hiding? What did he speak and when did he speak it? And what about Naomi? I mean, and it's just going to go on and on and on. And it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Beyond the entertainment value that it has for us, because as long as we stay perceptive and vigilant and aware of all this stuff and make sure that we share and spread that awareness, then the clown show stays fundamentally harmless. So I guess we're going to go ahead and close up on that note. It's not a small thing. Joe Biden's a crook. He's an idiot. Yeah, we've heard him say lots of idiot things, but he's also a crook, greedy, selfish, corrupt, a creeper. And apparently the apple did not fall far from the tree. And that jack wagon son of his, the Hunter. ACP can be heard here twice weekly, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We also have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. You can go there. You can listen to the shows as they appear in their broadcast schedule, or you can scroll back on the show tab on, that takes you over there, and you can listen to whatever you missed in the, in an archive-type format. Mojo 50 Radio, the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio to be found out there anywhere. And ACP is proud and humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. Mojo50.com. We have a couple of places, social media, a lot of stuff on Facebook. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. I'm an admin there with good pals, Don Ewan, and prototype Fox News babe, Donna Fiducia. Awesome people. Awesome people. Talk Radio West Virginia, Talk Radio Texas. You can check out both of those pages. Conservatives Perspective has an archive page for the recorded show, which is in the process of a seemingly never-ending refit. Going to be changing some things around on that page at Facebook. And then we have the regular page, the original, the Conservatives Perspective page. Go to all those places, man. Hit the like button. You'll be glad you did. We'll be glad you did. Thank you once again for going along with me on this, taking a little bit of time. Because sometimes, and I've said it a lot, you know, they bank on us not following them into the weeds. So we have to follow them into the weeds. And yeah, sometimes on this program I get a little weedy, and I'm sorry about that, but you know, we don't have any choice. If we're going to chase them down and that's where they go, that's where we got to go. Anyway, thanks so much for the visit. I appreciate it more than you know. Spread the word around about the show. Share the link, if you would, please. Tell your friends. If you guys need to talk to me about anything, you can check me there. You can leave a message at Talk America West Virginia. You can leave me a message at ACP's podcast page. I'll get back to you as quick as I can. Thanks again for the opportunity. I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. I'm James Bostic. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you in a couple days.